Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 109. I'm Brian.
This is John.
And before we get started, we know we've been talking about Game of Thrones, and we were kind of off the last couple weeks with that because we have pre-recorded episodes. We are waiting until the season's over.
Yeah.
And we are just going to do a complete season recap.
That's a better idea.
At the end, when we have a chance to watch everything and then re-binge it.
Because we're not an official, unofficial, official Game of Thrones podcast.
I do have to say, so we went to Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
And on the drive down, I found a great podcast called Radio Westeros.
Okay.
And it's all book stuff.
Oh, okay. So it's focused on the books.
Yeah, which is awesome because I'm a book reader and I love the books. So at this point, like, the show's fan fiction because, you know,
I
they never got to that.
I had a bad thought in my head when you said you're a book reader. Elephant takes a poop.
What was the Sam Jackson one? Go the F to sleep.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right.
But Shut the F up.
So we're back live-ish this week, and we're going to be a little more current, and yeah,
live-ish.
So.
Recorded live
from Kings Mills, Ohio.
What was that?
I don't know. So this week we are talking Voltron.
Yeah.
Because season 3 has come and been binged twice.
Jeez.
We
Somebody's
watched,
got too much time on their hands.
The kid was like, when we finished, she's like, can we start over?
Okay.
Sure. And then we've got some news bites, and we can just jump right into those.
Sure.
The first of which is King Kong is invading the Planet of the Apes.
Or did the Planet of the Apes invade King Kong?
Possibly. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to it for sure. Boom Studios is putting out King Kong on the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
From Ryan Ferrier.
So I eventually want to see a crossover of Star Trek, Green Lantern, Planet of the Apes, and King Kong now. Because they've all been on Planet... And
versus Predator.
Alien Nation. Because that was a crossover back in the 90s.
Versus Predator.
Versus the Terminator versus Aliens.
Mm-hmm. Versus RoboCop.
Face-hugged Planet of the Apes turned into Aliens.
Face-hugged King Kong turned into a Xenomorph.
There you go.
Anyway.
Getting worse and worse.
This will pick up immediately after the events of 1968 original Planet of the Apes with Dr. Zaius and General Ursa. I said that right? Yeah. Discovering a Kong and following a path that leads to Skull Island.
Which is completely, like, illogical.
Because
Zaius and Ursa were in New York and Skull Island's in the Pacific. I'm confused.
I don't know, but I'm excited for it. Like you, I like these crossovers that
sure.
have been going on.
They're fun.
The Planet of the Apes crossovers are always good. The Green
Does that
Lantern.
Mean Godzilla will eventually show up and destroy Ape City.
Oh, yes. Gojira. You gotta do the scream. Can you do the scream?
What? Gojira!
I was gonna say the Godzilla scream, but anyway.
Oh no.
No.
That's like a sound effect.
I forget what it was. Like they said one time what the like combination of sounds were to make
I don't know
that.
What they are for the new one, but the old one was like a little bit of everything. I think there was even like a guitar in there.
All right. Cool.
I don't know.
Okay, so then sticking with comic book news, you shared this one with me, which I don't even know how I miss it. But X-Men Grand Design. It was on Newsarama. And
so this thing sounds like there was a miniseries that DC did a few years ago called DC Legacies, where it focused on a decade, like every issue focused on a decade,
right.
And on an event that happened in the DC universe, and that's what this sounds like because it's focusing on every decade of the X-Men and events that happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, each issue is going to be a decade.
I'm all for something.
Which is what the movies are now. So, it's like, you know, the comic books are going to the way the movies are.
I'm all for something like that. The creator that they have on this, I'm not really familiar with.
Yeah.
And he has a book called Hip Hop.
From he's very
Fantagraphics,
like, popular with that.
Piskor is his last name,
Ed,
I guess.
Piskor.
Yeah. You know, so I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm
the hip hop family tree.
Yeah, I'm always excited for something new for the X-Men.
Sure.
Especially something that's status quo changing. Because there's
it's not going to affect anything.
Well,
it's
could though.
Like,
that's the thing. Like
giving you the history.
If it's done right, it can lead into some better X-Books right now. Because you know they had the whole resurrection thing going on, and
it's kind of. I don't know. They want to reset these universes every few years.
Right.
And if you do it, you just got to restart it all over.
Well, and they don't.
And not then, ultimize it and all that, you know.
But
I
then
just
what,
made up a word.
But then what they did, well, but that, I mean, that's a verb that Marvel does. But what they did was like with Iceman.
Yeah.
They brought the original five back.
Right.
Or forward in the future. And then made Bobby Drake gay.
Yeah.
So now the current Bobby Drake is exploring being gay in his solo series.
Okay.
But it's like, but nothing else any of them did changed the future for any of the other characters, right? Like, Scott didn't stop being a mutant extremist. Jean Grey was still dead. Beast is still a supervillain.
Did it change their history? Did he change the history, or was he already always gay?
Well, and that's what they're saying, is that he was always gay. Okay. But it's like, was he? No.
It's just something to stir people up.
It's just Brian Bendis being Brian Bendis.
Yeah.
But
you can't repeat North Star twice.
No, and that's what
I mean.
Made
North
more,
Star was a big deal when they revealed that he was gay.
But
I mean,
that was
a big deal.
That made sense, and it was cool, and it was driven by story and character development.
Yeah.
This is pandering, plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But they're all doing that now.
I know.
I mean, they're all doing that to some extreme way or another for whatever group.
Right.
And there's fans, you know, of all different ages, races, sexes, colors, you know, all that. And it's like, you don't have to pander to them. Just do an entertaining story.
You look at what they've done with Kamala, Ms. Marvel.
Okay.
She's awesome. She's such a cool character.
Is she a newer Miss Marvel?
Yeah, she's the Arab American or the Muslim. Kamala Khan, and she is she's really cool. I love her in the Champions book.
Yeah,
You know, she spearheaded that whole thing. Her and Miles and Nova, and you know, she's a cool character who really cares and like you know really wants heroes to do better, and you know you take what they did there where they think, okay, we're gonna carry on the Miss Marvel legacy with a character, but it's a net new character.
Right.
This is new IP. This is, you know, she's an Inhuman. She's got some pretty cool stretchy powers.
But they didn't pander to Muslims.
No,
they
no.
just
it's
did
just part of
Muslim
who she is.
Character.
Yeah. And this
which
is
hopefully they talked to Muslims before they did the Muslim character to get an idea of, you know, what is right. I mean, that's the problem that I see. And, you know, I don't know who's gay and who's not and who's, you know, Muslim and who's not. But if you're going to write a character, at least if you're, especially if you're white. We're white. And I mean, I don't know.
You say you're white.
Oh, well, you know. I don't know much about Muslim culture. I know enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, if I was going to write a character, I would be sure to talk to Muslim people and find out. What do you know? What do you do that is unique to your culture?
What do you want to see?
Yeah. What do you want to see in a character if I write a character that way? And it's like, you know, the same for any community, black, gay, you know, Japanese,
okay,
whatever.
So I'm going to ask this question. You don't have to answer it or really go deep into it. But do you think then only Muslim writers should write Muslim characters?
No.
Black writers should write black? Okay.
No. Like I said... As a writer, writing novels, writing comic books, whatever you're writing, you should delve into whatever you're writing and find out about it. Tom Clancy wrote The Hunt for Red October. It took him 5 years to write The Hunt for Red October because he was literally studying everything about that.
Wait, he wasn't a Russian submarine captain?
No, but his story was like very similar.
Yeah.
to something that really happened. Right. And they actually interviewed him, but he had no knowledge of that. But like he I mean, it's any writer. It's like any detective writer. And I mean, yeah. Greg Rucka
yeah.
was a bodyguard.
Oh, yeah.
And wrote a character that was a bodyguard.
Addix Finch. He's great.
It's one of those things where you do write what you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everybody grows up in different situations.
Yeah, but if you.
But I don't think a Muslim writer should only write Muslims. I think a Muslim writer wants to write a white character.
Yeah.
Write a white character. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
But
same with a black person should not be, you know, you can only write black people.
So you look at the Champions book, yeah. right? It's Mark Waid and Ramos.
Okay, yeah.
And you know, the three main characters are Ms. Marvel,
yeah.
Kamala Khan, Spider-Man, yeah. Miles Morales, and Nova, Sam, I don't remember his last name. Anyway. The Hispanic,
oh, yeah, okay.
the Hispanic Nova, the yeah. kid Nova, who is awesome. Who is
he Sam Ryder?
Yeah,
he's Richard Ryder's son, isn't he?
No. His last name's not Ryder.
Oh, okay.
He's not Sam. No, he's not Richard Ryder's son.
Oh,
he had a dad who was a Nova Corps member.
Oh, okay.
But
I thought he was Richard Ryder's son.
His standalone series that just recently got canceled, his Marvel yeah. Now series was amazing.
Yeah,
it was one of the better ones. But they're the three main characters, and then you have Amadeus Cho's. Totally awesome Hulk.
Yeah, yeah.
You have Viv Vision, okay. and then you have Cyclops.
Right.
And you know there it's a definitely multi-ethnic
it's
team.
Multi-ethnic
but it's team. Not you know it's not like they just.
But they don't shove it in your face.
No, not at all.
Right.
And you know it was funny
yeah,
though.
Yeah, Mark
because
Waid's never been a writer that really like you know it's there.
It's never overt.
It's, yeah, it's never over.
But the funny done. Thing is they were trying to figure out who was going to be the leader, and you know Cyclops is the obvious choice.
Sure.
And it got to the point where they're like, well, maybe he shouldn't be the leader because he grows up.
Because
we know yeah. what he grows up to. And then like kind of like, well, maybe he shouldn't be the leader because he doesn't understand all of us. Because
right.
the thing of that character is he's from the 50s.
Yes.
You know, he's learning on the go on how to deal with the new world and,
right.
and all of that. So, you know, it's just, I don't know. It was interesting. And you know.
Who's the leader?
It kind of it's different. Like it's they're not like you know. Sometimes Amadeus is the
right.
leader.
Well,
sometimes
yeah.
Scott.
It's kind of
Scott
like,
is definitely like the
Young
strategic.
Justice
yeah, Scott is definitely the strategic voice of you know what
yeah.
to do because of them all. He's the most experienced. Because
I mean, Young Justice ran that yeah. way on the cartoon for a mm-hmm. while, where you know different people were leading different teams.
Yeah, there was the different. There was Alpha Squad, Beta
right.
Squad, Gamma Squad, and yeah, I don't. So I would like
this
to see
a different Scott though.
It
I
is.
Mean, it is a different
Well,
Scott.
And it's a completely different Scott because mm-hmm. he has an unrequited love for Jean Grey that's never going to happen now.
Right.
He.
Who's she with? Is she with anybody?
She's not with
Old
anybody.
Old man
right
Logan?
Now. Yeah. well, now it's his son from the Ultimate Universe. That's who she's going to end up with.
Old man Logan's?
No. The Ultimate Wolverine had a son in the Ultimate Universe. And now he is
oh, now
in,
he's there too.
He's in X-Men Blue right now.
Well, shit.
Anyway, well, that's our way to get.
I'm
Wolverine
glad
back
I don't read X-Men
book.
Books.
It's so convoluted. But so no, but so
and
to get
old
back,
man Logan bringing Banner's son. Isn't he?
He's
to
bringing
be?
One of the Hulks over.
Yeah,
from,
Banner's
yeah,
grandson. Banner's grandson.
Yeah. The one that he took off with.
Banner's dead, but Banner's grandson's yeah. going to take Hulk's place. And yeah, there we go.
But
who
so
else is dead that we can replace?
Well, but to go back to like this with the X-Men Grand Design, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
they have an opportunity to really look back over the years and say, this is the defining moment of this
right,
group
yeah.
during this decade.
Yeah.
And do it right and do it inclusive.
Right.
But don't like beat us over the head with
alter,
stupid stuff.
It's going to be the story.
Well, I get it.
Yeah.
So but they still have to if they're going to do the, you know, do the stories.
Right.
They still have to stay true to what that story is.
Well,
or
stay
trying
true
to
the continuity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So the Brotherhood will be the first story because the Brotherhood was the 60s and, you know, the
right.
70s will be God Love, Man Kills type stuff.
And the 80s will be the Hellfire Club.
Hellfire Club and Dark Phoenix.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Because, yeah, to me, it's like, you know, there are certain things that stand out as these stories for the X-Men at certain periods of time. And it's like, yeah, the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants is the 60s to
yeah.
me. And it's like, you know, the 70s is kind of like reprints. A lot of reprints.
Well, it was all reprints,
yeah.
mostly.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, then the 80s to me is the, you know, probably the best run of stories. And it's
Claremont
like,
at its
well, right.
At his
and that's the thing is like
best.
Everybody goes back to Claremont.
Claremont and Byrne. Just yeah. You know, it and didn't Cochran. Get better than that. Yeah. Well, yeah.
But I mean, but, like, you know, I mean, Proteus, Dark Phoenix, Hellfire Club, you know, Days of Future Past. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the big stories are right in that decade. And then the 90s, for me, the, like, standout story was Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah. We had Inferno at the end of the 80s, beginning of the 90s, yeah. which was a huge X-Men. I mean, that went for 2 years.
Right.
So,
but yeah,
and you
but
had
when
Sinister.
Drawn out
and,
that long,
yeah.
they don't matter as much.
Well.
It's like Maximum Carnage. Cool yeah. story, doesn't matter that
sure.
much.
I agree.
You know, right. it's like Age of Apocalypse is a cool story, but you don't have to read everything.
No.
You don't have to read all those stories.
Whereas with Inferno, you have to read everything.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, there's certain of the... And they were smart with that. I think they learned from Inferno and that to do miniseries within the miniseries. So you had like the Gambit and the Externals and all those other ones.
Yeah.
And it's like... That made it better because then you could grab the book of your favorite characters
right.
and that, and if you wanted to read other ones, just wait for the trade paperback.
Yeah. Cool. All right, let's switch modes to streaming television, shall we?
It still involves comic books.
Well, everything we do involves comic books.
Not
all right.
everything.
Well, most. All right. So a lot of streaming deals happened while we were gone.
Yeah.
So the first one we're going to talk about is Robert Kirkman and Skybound.
Well, you should talk about the Millar World
okay.
first, because that was the first one that was announced.
All right. So we'll talk about Netflix acquires Millar World.
Yeah.
Their first acquisition as a company. If you want to read more about it, we have the press release linked from the website. This is interesting.
Yeah.
Because I could see a kick-ass television series. Like Daredevil style.
Yeah,
but eventually, I think we could get spinoff for like Kingsman, and do the Secret Service side of it.
More likely. But he's got. I mean, Jupiter's Legacy.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for.
I mean, that would make sense as a TV series because it's more of a episodic.
Well, it's an anthology too because they keep jumping back and forth between the two generations.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's more. It's more an episodic. You can do that the way they're jumping in the book. Can be turned into a TV
right.
series and just told as a story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that. So.
And then you can do, you know, people wanted, actually made money. It did well in the box office and everything.
Wanted, if they do want it, I would like to see Wanted as a mini series.
Like
not
Nemesis.
But like,
yeah.
You know, maybe every 6 months, a different,
yeah.
like, you know, 4 hour story type thing.
Yeah.
And that way you can build more story and build more universe. I want to see the, I can't remember the name of the time travel one that they did.
Micronauts.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. You're looking.
I have it on the app.
It's probably listed in the release.
It wasn't.
No.
No, they only listed Wanted. They didn't list Superior.
Oh, they actually
list
a Wanted?
Wow. Yeah. Reborn would be a great one.
Reborn, yeah, that one.
So, it did not list everything, but
I read them. I read that miniseries, but I can't remember the damn name of it.
The Micro Chrononauts.
Chrononauts, yeah. Chrononauts would be like cool as
dude, that would be a miniseries or a movie.
A movie series like that they just would do one a year or something.
Yeah. Well, like
because it was so fast paced that's like, you know.
Well, it's 4 issues. And
yeah,
if you remember,
five, yeah.
do you remember Timeline with Paul Walker
and
Gerard Butler?
Yeah.
Like, that's what Chrononauts is, essentially. They go back in time and, you know, stuff happens. But in this instance, they kind of hop
they
through
time
more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they alter it and they intentionally alter it. But the cool thing, Huck, that's the other one. That would be great to do as a limited series.
Yeah, like a 13 episode.
But anyway, no, I think
mean,
this is
the thing is Netflix doesn't do this just to do it.
Yeah,
and
they have a plan.
It's a reason. Yeah, there's a reason that they're doing it is because he's already built up enough story and he's well known now.
Yep,
and he can keep writing comic books, and Netflix is paying the bills. So, you know, it's like, and, you know, Miller's a good businessman
yeah.
altogether and entertaining. I mean, you know,
Well, I mean, you look at the books he's put out, right? Like with the Kick-Ass, yeah, Secret Service, Wanted, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, and then he's got a huge range. I mean, like, you know, all the Marvel stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, we're just talking about like the tip of the iceberg with this guy, and the range of the different types of stories he can bring to the screen, and like the different types of things Netflix can pull out of this.
Oh yeah,
it's great.
Yeah,
I mean, the other thing is Netflix could start doing feature, you know, theatrically released films like Amazon and Hulu. Oh, yeah. And where it's not just on Netflix.
Well, right. I mean, there's you could go through the Millar World stuff and literally section it out into this would be a good theatrical movie. Mm-hmm. This would be a good TV miniseries. This would be a good episodic series, you know, because I mean, Netflix is about doing all that stuff now.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, you know, they back everything, but it's like, you know, they're going to be publishing comic books too.
Yeah.
So
did you see any negative? Like, anyone say anything negative about this?
About Millar World? Yeah. No.
Like, I thought it was
the content, chief content officer at Netflix compared Mark Millar to modern day Stan Lee. And I'm like, yeah, kind of right. I mean, of all the people that have been creating universes, it's like he's created multiple universes.
To quote Jaron Ralphio, Jaboy gets it done.
Yeah. And I mean, and there's other ones, you know, there's no diss toward that. But like I said, he's a good businessman to the sense that he finds writers and artists mm-hmm. that work with him. It's that thing that like we were talking about with George R. R. Martin, where it's like, you know, if you can't produce everything yourself, but you have ideas and you can find a writer that you work with well.
Put them under your banner.
Yeah. Put them under your banner. Pay them. Give them paycheck. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the story's mine, but you're getting your paycheck.
Yep.
You'll get a story credit.
Yeah. And then as things come in. I mean,
that's the way he's been doing it. He recruits people every year.
Yeah.
So it's like people who want to get into the comic book
business. What's his book? What's that called that he does?
What, the Millar World thing?
Yeah,
the annual. Where it's like he just, you know, looks for people that are either in the business and aren't getting the, like, props that they should be.
Right.
And looking for people that have never done comic books before that have the talent, that just have never been given the opportunity because Marvel and DC don't really do that anymore.
Mm-mm. Well, no.
And Millar knows that. He worked for them, so he knows how that works.
So... No, I'm. This is great. Actually, all three of these announcements, I feel are really good. Okay, so Robert Kirkman and Skybound moved from AMC over to Amazon,
which I kind of told you the only reason they announced this is because of Netflix.
We'll get into to that, but
And then the other reason now. That
the other reason.
Out, yeah.
So, presumably, this won't affect the Walking Dead franchise. It's gonna stay on AMC, but just cancel it.
If they ran this year and then canceled it and decided like announced something like we're not going to do a regular series but we're going to do movies.
Yeah. Well, that's what we were talking about before we started. Like, I think the Whispers,
even if it was TV movies,
the Whispers would be great on Amazon as a 2 to 3 hour event.
Yeah.
You know, just knock it out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited about this because Thief of Thieves. I was so concerned.
That would be the one that would be cool.
I was so concerned with that show being on AMC.
Yeah.
But now that they can do it on Amazon, like, that is a straight up, like, villainous version of Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, these people are bad people.
Right.
But they're likable. I mean, they're likable. The Ocean's 11 people are likable. But, like, I love that book.
Yeah.
And it's one of the few
the high violence level. Doing it on Amazon, you can do it, and it's got the warning on and everything.
Yep.
But like my thought was, Amazon can produce an animated Invincible.
Yeah, how awesome would that be?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, we don't need a live action.
No,
Invincible.
We don't need.
I don't think it'll work in live action.
I don't think Invincible should be live action, but I would love to see like them adapt this story that you know he's produced for, you know. As many years as he's produced it as a animated series.
That would be so great. Like Spawn.
Yeah.
So you have HBO. Yeah. Spawn's on there.
Spawn on there?
Yeah. Okay. So I've been going back. And
yeah, I remember that. I remember watching it when it was on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the, for me.
I wish somebody would get the Max. MTV's the Max.
Oh, God. I love that.
Yeah. I just, you know, the comic book's great. But yeah. It's like, you know, that animation and the style.
That show was so good.
Yeah. It was,
it was ahead of its time. Yeah. That was the problem with it. And the only reason I knew about it was from the comic.
MTV.
Yeah.
Aeon Flux and Dad and the Head. It's like, I remember. Oh, yeah.
That whole Liquid Television.
Yeah, thing, the Liquid Television know. Thing.
But no, this excites me just as much as Millar World. I really enjoy the Amazon content.
To see what he'll come up with that is not a comic book.
Because,
you know, I'm curious to see what Kirkman can do when he's giving like free rein to just come up with an idea of a story, because you know, it's like, yeah, it's cool. You adapt comic books to television series, or you adapt comic books to movies and that, but these people were so creative, and it's the same with Millar. Cause you know that Netflix is going to have him do there's some original.
Something. So, cause I mean, the main thing about these two deals and the last one we're going to talk about is like, they all have the first looks.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like everything Kirkman comes up with is going to end up on Amazon.
Right, yeah.
Just Amazon has the first right of refusal.
Right.
And, so, I don't know. All right, so then the last one, and there's a link to this story, and it's well worth the read. It's pretty long. It's like 3 pages, but printed out. Shonda Rhimes is moving over to Netflix.
Right.
And the LA Times wrote this great opinion piece about how this is a gut punch to ABC. So it was announced that ABC and Disney are going to be pulling a bunch of their stuff off of Netflix in 2019 and have their own streaming service. Now, that doesn't,
Let's talk about that, too.
Well, this is all part of this.
Right.
So as of right now, that doesn't include Marvel and Star Wars.
Right.
And so Netflix is really working to be able to keep that content.
Sure. And, you know, that's fine because, I mean, they've been producing a quality, you know, maxi series for Marvel, and it's
having the Marvel movies and all the cartoons.
Right, and what people I don't think understand is yes, Disney owns Star Wars, Disney owns Marvel, or Disney owns Lucasfilm, and Disney owns Marvel Entertainment. Marvel Entertainment and Lucasfilm are still their own companies.
Right.
They just are owned by the parent company, Disney. Mm-hmm. Same as ABC. ABC is a child company of Disney.
Yeah.
And it's like most people are like, oh, it's Disney. It's all coming off. No, it's not. No, it's the thing where Disney's going to pull all their movies into the stable and they're going to put out a thing, which I hopefully, this is the thing I want. If anybody from Disney is listening, put everything on there.
Everything.
I want to see Wonderful World of Color. I want to see Wonderful World of Disney.
Song of
I
want to
see all the, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I want to see Song of the South. Yeah. I want to see everything that you put into Disney Treasures.
Yeah.
All the Disney Goes to War
should open be on the vault.
There. Everything. Yeah. Don't even like make a vault anymore. Blow the vault open. Put everything on there and charge what you're going to charge so we can be entertained by everything that Walt produced, because Walt produced a lot of stuff before. Right. You know what's going on now.
And I'm going to be honest, because if it's just like, oh, we're going to do piecemeal this, like volume one, volume two, or like best of, it's not worth it.
No.
It's like, I have all of those DVDs.
It's like, I'm at this point, it's like, oh, cool, Disney's doing a streaming, but I'm going to watch and see what Disney puts on their streaming before I pay the money for it.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm not paying money to see stuff that I already have.
And so this ties back into the Shonda Rhimes thing, right? Like now, Grey's Anatomy and...
What she got? Private Practice, Grey's Anatomy.
Private Practice is not anymore.
Well, it was hers.
It was hers. Yeah. Is Scandal hers?
Yeah. Scandal.
Like those aren't going off of ABC and all of a sudden they're going to be Netflix shows. Like
this is the one where you're talking like the Kirkman deal. The Millar deal is different from the Kirkman deal and the Shonda Rhimes deal.
Right.
In the sense that they bought Millar's world.
They acquired it. They own it.
Yeah, they own it. And he works for them and he's going to get paid by them. Whereas Kirkman is just going to go, hey, I got this idea. You want to take a look at it? And Shonda Rhimes is doing the same thing.
Shonda Land. Yeah. You know, and do you watch Grey's Anatomy?
No, never have.
I watched, remember, I guess it was like they aired an episode after the Super Bowl, and Kyle Chandler was on.
Okay.
Like pre Friday Night Lights.
Oh, okay.
And so I watched like the two or three episodes he was on, and then I kept watching it for like the end of that season. Huh. Like I never knew who anybody was or anything like that. But I will say this:
I know that like Jeffrey Dean Morgan was on there at one point. Yeah. And you know, it's like a lot of people have been on that show, but it's like, you know what, Grey's Anatomy, you ain't got nothing on ER.
It's really well written.
Yeah,
it looks nice. It's the actors do well. There was way too much like on set drama for that show, though.
Oh yeah,
you know, you had the whole TK Knight thing with Isaiah Washington, and you know, it was that kind of stuff. But that wasn't her fault.
No,
you know, but she can tell a good story, man. That Scandal show.
Well, sure,
Scandals.
I heard Scandals.
You know, what I've seen. Like, I'm at the point now where I assume it's coming to a close at some point.
Right.
I'm just waiting until it's done, and I'm just going to watch it all beginning to end. Because I feel like that's probably how that show is best ingested. The Disney thing, to tie into this, and the ABC, you know, ABC has completely mismanaged Marvel.
Yeah.
Now, this has been the best season of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the superhero shows that were on, I'm counting like the CW shows.
Okay.
S.H.I.E.L.D. was my favorite this past season of all of them.
Yeah.
I
still have to catch up on a couple, but
Agent Carter, there's no reason they shouldn't have made money with Agent Carter.
Well, and you heard the whole thing with that now, haven't you?
No.
Where she actually came out.
Oh, she wants to, I heard.
Well, she wants to do it, but when she came out and told the story about why there wasn't a season three was because they wanted her on that other show that she was on that got canceled, like a minute after it was on. And that they canceled Agent Carter because of that is pretty much what she said. And it's like, that was dumb.
Yeah, that show was ill-conceived from the beginning.
Yeah, Agent Carter was superior to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which maybe that's why Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was good this year, is because the people who had been working on that were on...
Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. was good this year because they told three separate stories
that all tied together
that they then tied up in the last four episodes.
Yeah.
Like a CW Berlanti, Greg Berlanti came out and said they're never going to do less episodes of these shows. Okay. They'll only do more. And it's like, pay attention. Don't do a 24 episode arc.
Yeah.
3 8 episode arcs.
Sure.
Get it done.
Or 2 12 episode arcs, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing that, like, you know, announcing that there's not a speedster villain this year on The Flash is like, okay, good.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah, it's like, you know, he has other villains.
Yeah, he has arguably the third best rogues gallery in all of comics behind Spider-Man and Batman.
Yeah,
in that order. But
yeah,
it's just, I don't know. This is really, really interesting. These are high-profile names that Netflix and Amazon have gone out and grabbed.
Yeah, well.
Or Amazon. Yeah, Netflix and Amazon. Sorry.
But, I mean,
Hulu's doing their thing. And, you know, if I were a TV creator right now, I would be so excited because there are so many other opportunities to get your stuff made.
Well, we've seen it. I mean, we've seen it this year with the OA. The OA was probably the best example of something where it would have never gotten picked up by any network.
Stranger Things.
That was last year, but yeah.
Well, but yeah, but...
Stranger Things could have been a Fox show. It easily looks like a Fox show.
It looks like it, but they would have never told that story.
The OA... you never would have seen on a network. Yeah.
I mean...
Even AMC wouldn't have done that.
Not even... I don't think that would have been on FX.
Yeah.
They would have been on maybe premium cable.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Like, that might have been a Showtime show.
But I mean, it was one of those things where... she was smart, you know, to take it to them and be like, can we do this?
Yeah,
and
the OA herself.
Yeah.
But no, that was a great show.
I mean, Stranger Things, it's like, you know, they were smart to take it to Netflix, but it looked like it could have been on Fox, too. I mean, it looked like X-Files in a way.
I mean, all I hear about lately is they want to, like, reboot The Office and reboot this.
Why do we need to reboot stuff?
They want to reboot The Office.
Because
they want to reboot 30 Rock.
Ideas? No, not everybody's ran out of ideas. You're just not opening the doors to the people that have ideas.
Right. So, or the people who have the ideas, you're not giving the show long enough to take hold.
Well, right, yeah.
Like The Office, the first season of The Office and Parks and Rec, the first six episodes of those two series are the worst six episodes of those two series.
Yeah.
Flat out.
I could agree with that. Yeah.
The
I haven't watched them as many times as you have, but
not me, trust me. But the finale of The Office, one of the three greatest finales in the history of TV.
Okay.
The finale of Parks and Recs, probably top
ten. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Probably top 10 finale, you know. It wrapped both shows wrapped everything up so nicely.
Yeah.
And that, but they want to go and they want to undo that. Now, 30 Rock, did you ever watch that
I never watched 30 Rock.
I loved 30 Rock for the first three seasons.
Okay.
And then after that, I was just kind of like, this. It's just the same thing. It's not funny anymore. It's not, you know.
Yeah, if you have a comedy series, it has to evolve over the years. I mean, you know, and yes, I know that he's scandalous now, but Bill Cosby, the Cosby Show, from the beginning to the end, evolved throughout.
So to your point,
yeah.
Let's take a look at Theo Huxtable as a character, real quick.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a character that evolved like he had my dream room because his clothes were everywhere to being one of the more responsible men ever on television.
Oh, yeah.
You know, who worked hard, who did what he had to do, who didn't go and chase money. He chased doing good.
Yeah.
And you know, Theo Huxtable is a very underrated character. But he had an amazing growth arc.
Right, yeah.
Denise, her, like,
I mean, every character on that show, it was like, you know, it was just, you know, all the kids you grew up with them, you watch them, and it's like, it's fun to go back and watch it now and be like, wow, you know what? Bill Cosby, like,
and we did. We just, we watched the entire series from beginning to end on Amazon.
I bought it all. Yeah. I bought it all, and I literally sat there for probably 2.5 months and watched Cosby every day.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this show is as good as I remember it to be.
So they're bringing Roseanne back. Now that's on Amazon. We've been watching that, but they're going to pretend like the finale never happened of that.
Well, that's a good thing, actually. Anyway.
All right.
There's some things where it's like, you know what? If you're going to bring it back, okay. But it's like,
Will and Grace is coming back and they're doing the same thing where it's like, why would you forget the end of that? Because that was another powerful ending to the show. You know, she finally got kids.
I don't need all of them to come back, you know.
They don't need any of them to come back. Yeah. And the X-Files proved that because that was garbage
on
a stick. The
X-Files is coming back again.
I know. I don't know why.
They said this time that it's going to be single episode stories. And I'm like, okay, 10 single episode stories. You're going to do the weird stuff. And that's what the X-Files always was good at.
But again, what they did was they brought the X-Files back and they didn't show it in an order.
They did that again?
Yeah, the first episode was the third episode.
Oh, okay.
Just ridiculous.
Just buy the box sets.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, let's talk about Voltron.
Yeah.
So season 3 came out on August 4th. We did not get to watch it until like August 7th.
I watched it on August 4th.
We were in Myrtle Beach.
No, it was August 4th, the Friday.
Yeah,
we
it was that Friday.
On a Sunday and like, you know, We blew through it.
Whatever. That Wednesday or Tuesday when we got back, Haley and I sat down and watched all 7 episodes. This was a third season, 7-episode season. And wow, did they get a lot of story done in 7 20-minute
episodes? Yeah, you were
questioning
me about that.
Well, because I was like, what?
I told you.
Seven?
I said, oh, yeah, by the way, it's only 7 episodes. And you're like, what?
What? So,
and I told you. I had the perfect thing where I told you those 7 episodes tell a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, and they build for what's going to happen in season 4.
So, Studio, which comes out on August 13th, by the way.
We're going to get Vehicle Voltron. We are.
Anyway,
and
is that in the preview?
From the Parallel Universe.
I haven't watched the preview yet.
No, I didn't watch the preview. Or I watched the preview, but they didn't show them. But the whole Parallel Universe story that happens, I'm like, that's
Sven.
That's where we'll get the Vehicle Voltron. And maybe the three Voltrons.
Ooh, there you go. So, I love this show.
Yeah.
Like, I love
very well done.
I mean,
show.
I have the lions.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I love this. Like, I loved Voltron as a kid.
Right.
Not Car Voltron, Lion Voltron. Yeah. But regardless. Anyway.
I just love giving you shit about that.
The
well,
you love giving me shit about?
Another thing why I think we will get Vehicle Voltron is because of Pidge's brother.
Yes.
Because Pidge's brother in the original was one of the pilots in the vehicle.
He was what are they going to call them? They can't be paladins.
No, they'll just be drivers.
Driver.
Yeah, drivers. That's what I think they were called back then was drivers. Oh, no, I have to pull the Fleet of Doom out and watch it.
I'm going to spoil a little
have
bit.
Have you ever seen Fleet of Doom?
I think so.
That's the one where both Voltrons
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I remember when that was on USA.
Yeah.
So, okay. So in this one, it says here, the Paladins must adjust to using their lions until they can figure out a new means to form Voltron. So if you remember at the end of season two, Shiro just disappears and the Black Lion is left floating in space. Bayard, key still in the ignition. And the way this one opens is you have the Paladins going out, doing good around the galaxy, being defenders of the universe and all that. And everyone's asking, where's Voltron?
Like, where's Voltron?
Like Keith's reaction to when people ask him, where's Voltron? He just wants to flat out be like, we can't do it.
Yeah.
Our guy's gone. Yeah. We just can't. It's like, there's no more Voltron.
There ain't nobody driving that Black Lion.
And everyone else is like, oh, well, he's busy.
Yeah.
he's getting detailed.
The Black Lion's gone to the final frontier.
So the way the lion switching happened in these first couple episodes was great.
It flowed really well.
Well, it wasn't easy for any of them.
Right. Yeah.
You know, watching them all try out the Black Lion.
Oh, that was just fun.
With Tyler Labine. And all four of the head.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, honk, way to go. Watching that, and then the inevitable conclusion that it's Keith's lion now. And Keith's got probably the strongest connection to the Black Lion, any of the three now have had, which is awesome to see. But Keith's growing pains because that one doesn't fly quite like the red one.
Right. And, I'm like,
it's a different weapon size. Set. Yeah. I mean, it's huge now.
I'm like, you go from a streamlined little red lion to the big old bulky like Black Lion. It's like, yeah, it's going to be a little different flying.
And then you had Lance when the Blue Lion was like, no, you're not my paladin anymore.
Just get away.
He's like, let me in. Come on. And
you're looking really nice today. He's flirting with
him.
Like,
he's like, hey, baby.
What are you doing flirting with
him? He's like, how you doing? But then you have him with the red lion.
Yeah.
And the first thing he comes out of the tube and he's like, Keith, don't be jealous.
Yeah. she likes me now.
Because he had to accept Keith as the leader. And and again, when you were telling me about why wait, we got the history of the first five paladins.
Yeah.
And whereas Alora's dad could have been the head, he understood that Zarkon was the best pilot for that particular lion, but he was the right arm.
Right.
And when Lance figured out, hey, I need to do this.
When he tells him, I'll always be there for you. I'll always be backing you up.
Yeah.
And it's like, when Alora explains that the lions will decide who's going to drive them because of the fact that they know that he's so loyal to him.
They look but into your soul.
Like, they spar so much that it's like,
they're brothers.
That's how loyal he is to him. And him, by him saying, I'll always be your right hand man. And it's like, you literally are now.
You can, I'll be your wingman anytime.
Yeah.
Screw you.
Exactly.
You can be mine.
Yeah.
It was such a Top Gun moment. But then Princess Alora.
Everybody finally took their shirt off, played volleyball.
Well, because they had that pool scene in the first season.
Yeah.
Anyway, but Princess Alora finally getting in the Blue Lion was hilarious because she just tried to boss that thing around.
And
she's like, lion, do this, lion, do that.
Right.
And
it's Lion's not the castle. You can't fly it.
and they're telling her, it's like, you gotta. But when she connected.
Oh, yeah.
Like the
when Lotor's hunting her.
When they were in the nebula, in the very Rathacon episode there. And she was able to unlock the sonar.
So what did you think about Lotor?
He was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, he
they did
reminded
really well
me
of not like making him like the original where he was just like kind of a whiny.
He's
character.
Azula.
Yeah.
But less crazy.
Yeah.
He's like more methodical.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have all the baggage that Azula has.
Right.
But he is very much Azula, and his team of Galra half-breeds.
Yeah.
Are so cool. Ty Lee's one of the voices.
Did you?
The one is Keith's sister, just hands down.
Yeah.
The one who wouldn't take the shot at the end. Yeah. He was flying the comet ship.
That's like, the one he rescued.
That is the one from... Yeah. That is his sister. I'm calling it right
oh,
now.
Oh, you think that's his actual sister?
Because I think... Well, because he's half Galra. He's half Galra. Or part Galra. Whatever. Yeah. So I think his dad is human.
Okay.
And his mom is Galra. And then...
His twin sister.
Oh, fraternal twins. So, Keith...
That totally would make sense.
There is another...
Well, and here's the thing that even makes it even cooler an idea. I'm sitting there watching it with her, and I said, look at Lotor's group. And she's like, what? I said, Lotor's group can fly the Voltron Lions.
Yeah.
I'm like,
there's the equal, hunk equivalent, there's the page equivalent.
I was like, there's an equal equivalent to everybody. Mm-hmm. And I said, they're going to build another Voltron.
Well, but they didn't.
They won't. They haven't yet.
Well, I think they used all the metal for that ship.
Right. Now, well, Lotor's I don't think they'll ship, build a Voltron that's like at the power of the original Voltron. But I think that, you know, because we haven't seen a Robeast in a while, that we're going to get
a Voltron Robeast in a while.
That's going to be controlled by those five.
That would be interesting. Yeah. So, all right. I just want to say the titles of this show for this season.
Yeah.
Okay. So episode one is Changing of the Guard.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
literally,
you
know,
everybody
happens,
move
right
over one lion. You have Red Paladin, which was, you know, the finish to that arc.
Right.
The Hunted, which is the one we were talking about where they were learning.
Yeah, literally get trapped in a nebula. And...
Hole in the Sky and The Journey, which I'll come back to those in a sec. Then Tailing a Comet and The Legend Begins. So the fact that the final episode
is
of the
called
season,
The Legend Begins.
It's called The Legend Begins. And we literally get the history of Voltron with the Paladins.
And we get to see Zarkon actually as a good person.
And
find out why he's become what he is.
Well, and when we learn more about Hagar.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part.
Which is why Lotor is a half-breed.
When she pulled down the hood at the end of season two.
Right.
And Allura got her little comeuppance there because she was being horrible to Keith.
Right.
Because all Galra are bad, and all Altaians are good,
right?
You know, which is, you know, a pretty good allegory for what's going on in the world right now. She was like, "Wait, no, you're Altaian. I'm Altaian, but you're bad, but I'm good. But Keith is good, and he's like, okay, what do they use? Woke? Is that that's a popular word right now? Anyway, I don't know. I don't keep up with that shit. But seeing her dad. You know, and just kind of the alchemists that were the Altaians were great. And I think it's logical to talk about Hole in the Sky.
Yeah.
Because this is where we get the alternate
the mirror universe.
It was a mirror universe.
It literally was.
Because the
Altaians were the Galra and the Galra were the Altaians.
Well, but were the Altaians as evil as the Galra?
They were nice about it.
They were, yeah.
They were nice about being evil.
Well, we're gonna.
Well, they were more
diplomatic.
Yeah, they were more just, you know, we're gonna hook something in the back of your head.
Yeah,
and you're gonna just be a slave.
Remember Johnny Mnemonic?
Yeah,
that's what that reminded me of. No,
I thought the Matrix.
Yeah, well, yeah,
I mean,
straight up,
literally.
But I did love Sven.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it was cool because we got I can't remember the little centipede guy's name.
Oh, there's an 82% chance.
Yeah,
that
where this, he had already shown up in the previous season and he was talking about parallel universes. Yeah. And it's like, now they're all like, wait a minute, he was right.
Yeah.
There are parallel universes. And he was like, I was right. There are parallel And it was cool because it's like, you know, there's opportunity for a story there.
There is.
To show what Earth looks like. And that's where I said the vehicle Voltron and all that would come in. Because it's like the Legend of Voltron would live in that universe, too. And it's like it would make sense that Shiro would be part of that team.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, Pidge's brother is in that universe. And that's what why Pidge can't find Pidge's brother.
Oh.
Is that he's in that universe.
Katie's brother took off.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it's like, you know, that would make sense of a lot of things.
Yeah.
And that, so.
No, that makes perfect sense. And, you know, Joaquin Dos Santos and Lauren Montgomery, in my mind, can do no wrong with this series.
They've got a lot of episodes to do.
There were, 26 more?
Oh, no.
50? No, or was it 54?
They were, I think Netflix told them to do like 80 something episodes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because the original did 100.
Right.
And I think they wanted to at least match that.
They could go for like a couple more seasons at least.
I'm so happy that this was only 7 episodes because we got so much.
And I think the next season's 8.
And yeah. Yeah.
Which just comes on in October.
October 13th.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. I have to make sure.
October, yeah, is it 13th? October
13th? Yeah. Okay. So, I just got to say, this voice cast is so freaking awesome.
No, did they list who's playing all of LOTOR's people?
And it's not on IMDb.
I tried to find that because I'm like, it's got to be like, you know, pretty much anybody who worked on.
Like, I was looking for Grey DeLeese. I was looking, you know, but like it didn't. Like I went to May, Azula, and Ty Lee's character pages.
Right.
And when I figured, none of them.
You know, since Hagar wasn't in a lot of this season, that Cree Summer was probably playing
maybe
one of them.
Maybe she did that, yeah.
Yeah.
But AJ...
Which is so funny because, like, I was at Needmore Comics recently, and Inspector Gadget was playing. And she played Penny.
Yeah.
And now she's, like, playing Hagar. And
she
like,
was... who was she on Rugrats?
I forget.
Susie Carmichael.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
when her dad played... Claw.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's just awesome. That's so funny. Like, you know. And she's linked to Cosby too, because she was on A Different World.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you got AJ Locasco?
Yeah. I don't know what he's done
a lot of video games.
Yeah, he's a video game voiceover.
So
it was nice to hear somebody different.
The menace in his voice.
Yeah.
As
he's a young guy too.
Yeah, he looked pretty young.
Yeah.
You know, again, Studio Mir knocked it out of the park. With the animation as usual, I mean we kind of come to expect that, but LOTOR in this was really really cool.
He's more methodical, more like you know tactical about things. I think I would like to see like maybe a 5-episode series of him out on the
that'd be a good one. And
Outlands
Exile?
Or Exile. Yeah. Yeah, they called it Exile, but I'm like, he wasn't really an exile because he was doing whatever the hell he wanted to do.
Well, he was out in exile doing whatever the hell he wanted to do.
But I'm like, you know, it would be cool to see, you know, obviously because he is a half breed, it'd be cool to see him recruiting the other members of his team. And I'm like, they're all females. It's like, what's going on here?
So you know,
but it makes sense because it's the flip of, you know, even though Pidge is a female in this story, it's the flip of Allura.
Yeah.
He's the mirror universe version of Allura because he's the bag version of her, I think.
Pidge is whatever.
Pidge is a
female. I mean, it's Kate. Katie's a girl, but, you know, they didn't know that for many, many episodes.
I mean, they acknowledge it now, so.
And, you know, Bex... Taylor Klaus is great as Pidge. You know, she's awesome. Josh Keaton as Shiro.
Yeah.
His voice was a little different, like when he first came back. And I was like,
well, did you catch what they said when he escaped?
What?
He's a clone.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, he's a clone. That's what I think, that the one that was in the Black Lion got disintegrated.
And they cloned him.
Well, he remembers everything. So I'm thinking it's one of those things where the mind transfer happens, but the body's destroyed.
Huh.
Yeah, when he escapes, one of the Galra is like, clone number 3 has escaped, or something like that.
Oh, I missed that.
And literally, like, she's the one who caught it. And she said, did you hear what they said? And I said, did they say he was a clone? And she's like, yeah. Hmm. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, so the real Shiro is still out there somewhere.
Or dead.
Or dead.
So, and but the lion, well, maybe that's what the lion wouldn't. Yeah. Let him fly.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, you got to go back and listen to that.
Well, we're making our way through.
Yeah.
So,
are you watching the whole series? Or okay?
Yeah, we started at the beginning. We've been the kid and I are watching that, and then as a family, we're watching Clone Wars.
Okay.
Because that comes off of Netflix on September 7th.
All right.
And Angel never watched it, so we're powering through. We're doing like 3 episodes a night.
Cool. Yeah.
Hopefully we can get done by September 7th.
She's watching Game of Thrones. Like, she started from the beginning again.
Yeah, I restarted that.
She goes, keep forgetting. She goes, I forgot stuff. And I'm like, yeah.
So, because I did that too when I went back. So, because they go to bed and I'm like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a bunch of stuff. I'm at the point where Arya and Hot Pie and Gendry caught up with the Brotherhood.
Yeah.
And it was just the trial by combat with Beric Dondarrion and the Hound. It's like, especially after, you know. But yeah, so I don't know. I think when I first heard that Netflix was doing this, I was excited.
Yeah.
At the
before end, you knew who was doing it.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I was just like, oh, sweet, Voltron. Right. At the end of the first season, like, I'd have been okay if that was it.
Yeah.
I'm happy there's a lot more coming. But, man, if they just did 7 episodes every, you know,
three months,
yeah, whatever.
A 3-month break between them. Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, and it's what they do with the Croods and
it just
Turbo
keeps it
Fast,
like, you know,
and,
in the loop. You're in the loop because if it's one of those ones where it's like 12 episodes and then you got to wait a year.
Right.
It's like, oh, Voltron's back.
So like Trollhunters.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. I love it. But I'm still only on like episode 14.
Okay.
Because there's 26 of them.
Oh, wow.
And I don't want and there's 26 more coming. And it's like.
But when are they coming?
I don't know. Right. But just the whole like slogging through 26 episodes of anything that's new.
Yeah.
It's just kind of hard now.
Right.
You know, and I think for the most part, Netflix has this dialed in. Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, 8 to 13 episodes is the max.
Right.
Like I haven't watched Ozark yet. That's
I haven't watched that yet.
Like we need to watch that and talk about that apparently. Yeah. You know, the 13 Reasons Why, the new one about the autistic kid.
That one
Anxious.
I want to watch too. Yeah.
But I think that's just a movie.
Is it a movie?
I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. But then they had the To
I
the
see
Bone.
Michael Rappaport's in it. So
they had the
like,
one that
cool.
To the Bone that was the movie with Keanu Reeves about the girl with the eating disorder.
Oh, I haven't watched that.
Like,
Keanu's
I want to watch
that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, but that's just a movie. It's not a TV.
Yeah, that's
show.
Just a movie.
But
like we talked about earlier, Netflix is producing. Excuse me.
Gesundheit.
Quality stuff from movies to TV shows
to animation.
Yeah. Well, but, I
like
don't even look at it animation. I haven't watched that yet.
So we'll talk
but
about that.
Made that. People angry.
So Castlevania was initially a movie.
Yeah.
And they cut it into 4 episodes.
Right.
There's 11 more coming.
Right.
So.
But they didn't tell anybody they were doing that.
So, which I'm glad that I didn't
have done
watch
it
yet.
Just do a movie and then said, you know, more
to
is coming.
Be continued.
Yeah, more
or
is coming.
Like, you know, Simon will return.
Like, this is the introduction of this character, and we're going to see how this does. It's one of those things where some moves they make, it's like, why did you do that? But it's like, you know, other things, I'm like, wow, that was a good idea.
But I think some of it too is they're dipping their toes into content and like, hey, let's see if this works. The OA.
Yeah.
That might have worked.
It worked for me.
Well,
yeah,
we gushed over it, and so we talked about it. But like the OA very easily could have been an episode where, or a series where it's like, this is not good,
right?
But it had such a good, it had such a good group behind it, like that built that world and did the writing and the directing.
It's literally, that I you know, there's been some things that. Have been on Netflix where it's like, it's okay.
Oh, the
but they get
the one with Famke Janssen and the werewolves.
Oh yeah, I've never watched that. But that was early.
Lilyhammer, which they imported from Sweden or wherever,
right?
With
but did they adapt it or did
Polly
they just
Walnuts?
Import
no,
it?
I mean, they brought it over. It was because it was the dude from The Sopranos,
right?
It wasn't like a spinoff of The Sopranos or anything. Okay. It was he was in the E Street Band. Sal.
Yeah.
He was a mobster who was in Witness Protection in some town.
So they just adapted the story over.
No. It's just it was a series over there.
Okay.
And then he's the only.
It's
American.
Not like The Killing, where The Killing was, you know, which I mean, that they did that last season and it was like, thank you for completing
finishing
the story.
It,
yeah.
That's one I just couldn't get into.
It was one where I think it should only been one season.
Yeah.
Once you found out what happened to the girl. It's like, you know, it's kind of like
that
13 Reasons Why.
Yeah.
We don't need a second season.
We don't,
of that.
Netflix. We don't.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
If you want to do a story with the characters,
anthology.
Yeah.
different character set,
yeah.
13 different reasons for some other thing than suicide. Right, yeah. Like, I think, you know, what that brought to bullying and suicide and that kind of stuff, the attention.
Yeah.
Like, Selena Gomez, I know you're not listening to this, but, like, if someone is,
yeah,
whatever, like, pick a different topic.
Yeah.
In 13 reasons the hell out of it.
Right.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Voltron, it's awesome. Watch it. You already have.
Have you watched Voltron 84 yet?
Yes.
Where they did the...
the seven lost episodes.
Yeah, I haven't
episodes.
Watched that yet.
Yeah, I watched
well, it's not lost episodes, it's favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're not in the Voltron catalog.
There's a Voltron catalog?
Voltron's on... Hulu were one of them.
Is
the original's on there. Maybe Amazon.
Oh,
but okay. None of those episodes are in that group.
Okay,
they're new 1984 quotes. I'm air quoting.
Yeah,
they're quote unquote new.
They're original episodes.
They're original ones.
They haven't been seen in a long time.
They aren't on any of the discs or anything like that. So.
Really?
That's what I read. I don't know. I loved them so.
I'll have to check the disc.
I kind of Haley was she was talking about the old lion because it had the crest on its chest.
Yeah.
And she's like, the black lion looks weird with that. It's like,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like, I still haven't gotten over like the blue V.
Yeah.
Like, that's there. It's like a very Nightwing looking thing. But yeah. Anyway. All right.
We streamlined it for the future generations. Well, and it'll be cool because the same thought is if they do a vehicle Voltron, it will not look like the original vehicle Voltron. It'll look similar.
Good.
But it won't look like that.
It doesn't need to have the Devo helmet on its head.
No, you need that helmet.
No.
That helmet's part of the vehicle. It's the rocket. It's kind of like if Thunderbirds formed vehicle into a Voltron type thing. That's kind of what it looks like. I mean, some of the vehicles look like Thunderbirds vehicles, so...
True. Very, very
we
true.
We don't need all the...
We don't need 27 of them.
I was going to say, we don't need like 500 cars or anything. Like two land vehicles, two air vehicles, and two water vehicles will do. Yeah.
But it shouldn't form a person-looking thing. It should form like a mastodon.
Why?
Or
why
gorilla.
Are we doing Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
Anyway. All right.
I'll flip this table right now.
So, yeah. Go watch Voltron. Make sure you go to the website and check out the links to the King Kong Coming to the Planet of the Apes, the X-Men Grand Design thing. It's a great read.
Yeah.
All the stuff with Kirkman, familiarize yourself with Millar World. If you track down, Kick-Ass,
all the links will be in the show notes.
Yeah. All the links are there. If you check out, Kick-Ass, find the comics, the individual issues of Kick-Ass 2.
Read the Wanted comic.
Well, read the Wanted. Well, I was going to say, track down Kick-Ass 2, and my name's on the back of one of the covers with my quote.
Yeah.
anyway, it's just self-promotion. And then the Shonda Rhimes thing is a great read about kind of what's happening in entertainment today. So,
Entertainment today is on unsteady ground, so...
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you are a creator, now is the time.
Yeah.
You have Netflix, you have YouTube, you have Hulu, all these avenues to
YouTube
go out
Red.
And create. And
Disney.
And if you have an idea and you want help promoting it, let us know. And we want to help people get stuff out there.
Yeah, sure.
So, all right, guys.
Thank you.
Later. The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. To stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as at Johnny Podorf, and I'm on most social networks as at Brian Tudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.